Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
This is Trey McBride, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to my intro, not Alex's because I don't do Alex's intro. It's Cody and the Trash Man today as we head into the 4th of July weekend. Trash Man, we haven't talked extensively about the Dynasty rankings in a couple of days, maybe a week or so on a show, but we're here. Alex is out of office for a couple days, maybe a week on vacation, so it's you and me, or you and I, or me and you on the pod and on YouTube talking tight ends because there's been some tight end news here in the first week of July. How you doing?
I can't complain. Ready to talk football.
So let's start off first and foremost with this Darren Waller thing because I swore and I listened to a lot of podcasts, a lot of YouTube videos, things of this nature. And I
That's
swear.
Your first problem.
Well, I swear that, like, I think it was a month ago, Darren Waller went on John Gruden's show. 3 months ago, full interview. Darren Waller, full interview on the John Gruden Barstool channel. Now, Waller played with Gruden in Las Vegas or Oakland. I can't remember which one it was. Back when Gruden was coaching, right? And anyway, Waller was on the show 3 months ago, and he was talking about how mentally he was retired well before he actually retired, and that while he was in New York, he was just unhappy and yada, 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 yada. And now, 3 months later, he comes out of retirement, and he's traded. His rights have been traded to the Miami Dolphins from the Giants for a 6th-round pick. And so now we're sitting here, July 2nd, about 3 weeks away from training camp starting to open. And we have a 32-year-old, about to be 33-year-old Darren Waller that hasn't taken a snap or hasn't caught a football since 2023 when he had 52 catches for 552 yards and 1 touchdown with the Giants. We have to re-enter him into these dynasty rankings, Trash Man. And I don't even know if he likes football. He definitely doesn't love it. He might like it.
He likes a paycheck. He probably likes Miami. You know, those are two things he's got going for him.
I mean,
I think maybe he likes a challenge. Maybe he wants to show that he's still got it. You know, I feel like this kind of situation, you've been sitting out for a couple of years. You kind of look at the tight end landscape, and it's kind of bereft of you know, marquee talent, you know, why not think, you know, you can still, you're still, I mean, this is the age of guys playing into their 40s. making lifers out of NFL players, you know, at certain positions. And Darren Waller, he didn't retire, you know, because he was broken and beaten down. You know, it was, like you said, like he lost the love for the game. I mean, he just wasn't feeling it in New York. And so I feel like if it wasn't physical limitations that kept him, you know, out of the game, you know, and he's stoked to be in Miami. He's been sitting on the shelf for over a year. So, you know, he's maybe has some renewed vigor. I know in my own personal life, you know, I teach psychology. I know I've definitely gone through stints where like I stopped teaching for a year and a half, just cause you know, I'd gotten burnt out of it. And then, you know, I come back to with a fresh set of eyes. So maybe it's kind of a similar thing, with Waller.
I can see that. I mean, I get it. It's been just about exactly a year. It was June 9th last summer when he announced his retirement. And the injuries, like you said, they really wasn't an injury-riddled thing. He's had hamstring injuries and ankle injuries his whole career, but what tight end really doesn't get banged up and have a hamstring strain here and there? I thought it was interesting. Our boy Matty Kiwum tweeted out, fantasy relevant tight ends with their age. Travis Kelce, 35.7. Taysom Hill, 34.9. Zach Ertz, 34.6. Those guys are all 2 and 3 years older than Darren Waller at 32.8, who is the same age as Tyler Higbee, 32.5, and just 1 year older than George Kittle, 31.7. Again, remember, spent 3 years in Baltimore. 2 years, technically. He was suspended for 1 year for off-field stuff. Then he was in Oakland for 5 years before being traded to the Giants for that 2023 season. Again, 52 catches, 550 yards, caught a touchdown on a putrid football team. Now you look at him in Miami. Where does your, like, is there a name that comes up? Is there a tier, an area in Dynasty that comes up when you say, all right, if we get – Let's just say, Trash Man, this is can't possibly believe that this is going to be peak Darren Waller. This isn't 2019-2020 Waller, 1,100 yards, you know, pushing towards 10 touchdowns. We can't expect that. But if we can say in this offense with Tyreek and with Jalen Waddle, he's taking on that Jonnu Smith role in a different fashion and potentially is more of a red zone asset.
I mean, and Jonnu Smith – almost 900 yards and 8 touchdowns last season.
You think Waller can get there?
I mean, I'm thinking closer to 806 touchdowns. That's kind of more in the realm of what I'm thinking. But even that would have him being a, you know, that could have him being a top 5 tight end.
Literally.
Potentially. I mean, Jonnu Smith was number 4. Well, we were just talking about yardage. Jonnu Smith is number 5 in fantasy points per game, with 8 last season. I mean, so I feel like Waller could come in and be a top 10 tight end in this tight end landscape for sure. I mean, number 10 was Zach Ertz, 6.3 fantasy points per game, you know, 66 receptions, 654 yards, 7 touchdowns last season with Washington. I could see Waller doing that easily. In Miami.
From a dynasty perspective, though, like I know we haven't nuked Travis Kelce, but he's not exactly in the top 10. He's closer to 20 than he is 10 in dynasty. You're saying you could see Waller come in and be a top 10 tight end. That means this year. But yeah, from a dynasty perspective, are we talking, I mean, again, 32, going to be 33. Kelsey's 36. Guys like Mark Andrews right on that tight end 14 area, he's 29. Jonnu's 30. I don't think you can put him ahead. Is he the break between Travis Kelce and like that Jake Ferguson, down to Jake Ferguson type of situation?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'd almost rather Waller than Ferguson.
That's what I'm saying. Like, would you put Kelce Kelsey Waller Ferguson.
In Dynasty, I could, yeah, let's, I mean, that would be the safe place for him, for sure. I mean, I think if we see Waller come into camp, we see him productive. We see him looking like Waller of old. I don't see why we couldn't put him above Kelsey at that point.
I'm going to go over to Dynasty Daddy really quickly. I should have done this before the show, but I'm going to do it right now on the fly and just see, because obviously this Darren Waller thing just happened. I want to see if there's been any trades featuring Darren Waller in Dynasty. Today, it looks like there's been five trades. So this is what's happened. Kylan Granson for Darren Waller. Okay. 2027 fourth round pick, 2027 third round pick, 2026 third round pick. And then this other one is Arian Smith on one side for Waller, Dylan, AJ Dylan, and a 2026 third. So that's just a mosh pit of garbage. So I mean, if he's attainable out there, I think you know, about a third round pick in multiple years down the road, I don't think that's horrible.
No, I mean, I think whoever got him for Kylan Granson, I mean, I think that could be a steal potentially.
I think you made out pretty well there, because Granson's obviously absolutely buried. Somebody who is potentially buried now, I mean, I don't know, because Jonnu Smith was traded in this Minka Fitzpatrick, Jalen Ramsey thing to Pittsburgh. And you just talked about how Jonnu Smith excelled last year, top 10 tight end. Pat Freiermuth is still
top five
tight end. And Pat Freiermuth is still in Pittsburgh, obviously. Pat Freiermuth is 27 years old, 6'5", 265. He's your prototypical tight end. Yeah, he can block, but he's a pretty damn good pass catcher as well when he's in space. They also have Darnell Washington, 6'8", 300-pound tight end that has been the guy that's pass blocked or run blocked for them. Feels like an awkward situation for a Freiermuth in this Pittsburgh offense that now you do look at Aaron Rodgers and his career with tight ends. You go all the way back to his time in Green Bay. It was always the Jermichael Finley, the Mercedes Lewis. It was the big lumbering 265-pound tight end. So that would favor Freiermuth. But now they bring in Jonnu. You think this Jonnu thing is – going to tell us more about, hey, they need a wide receiver three and Jonnu can move around like he did with Arthur Smith in Atlanta, or that this is about Freiermuth?
I mean, well, they did say that they plan on using Smith as a fullback, as a slot wide receiver in addition to tight end. I think they're going to move him around. And I think that's why they got him, because they don't necessarily have a really strong second receiver or third receiver in that offense. They don't really have a really domineering red zone presence after DK Metcalf. So I feel like John Smith is going to fill in all those blanks. I mean, he's going to score a lot of touchdowns this season. Freiermuth, I think he's going to play more of a traditional role. And I think that with Freiermuth, we thought he was going to have a step up this season. We thought he was going to make a leap potentially this season. And obviously that's not going to happen now. I think he'll still get used to that. And I think it might be similar to the situation in Buffalo, where you have two good tight ends and one just generally outproduces the other on a week-to-week basis, just based off of, you know, where they're playing him. And, you know, the red zone presence there. So I think it's more about Smith and what they can do with him and, you know, having this new toy to play with. Freiermuth has, as much as I respect him as a player and like him, he's never really been a premier tight end, you know, even with the opportunities had there in Pittsburgh. And it looks like we may never see that come to fruition.
You know what the difference is, Trashman, between Jonnu Smith and Jordy Nelson from an overall athleticism perspective?
Maybe about 30 pounds.
Yes, 31 pounds as far as their combine numbers coming in. Jordy Nelson was a second round pick. Jonnu was a third round pick. Jordy Nelson 6'3", 217. Jonnu 6'3", 248. That was his drafted weight. Wouldn't surprise me.
Was it really 30 pounds the difference?
30 pounds. Yeah.
Good at football.
and the 40 yard dash speed. Jordy ran a 4.51. Jonnu ran a 4.62. But when you look at the speed score, 89th percentile for Jordy, 84th percentile for Jonnu. And I know people are saying, what the hell kind of a comparison are you making here? But what my brain goes to is obviously we know what DK Metcalf is. He's more of a stretch alpha than anything. It's like I'm looking for what role can Jonnu fulfill for Rodgers. And I don't think it's quite a Jordy Nelson, but I don't think it's quite a Randall Cobb. And if it could be some concoction of both, I mean,
it's a James Jones.
James Jones, there you go. That's another one. That's like just a bunch of these guys that really don't get the flowers that they really deserved. And I don't think we have to look at Jonnu Smith a little bit different. And he's here for a reason. I don't think they just went out. And now I'm not trying to put control in Rodgers' hands, say Aaron Rodgers did this, but I have to believe the fact that Aaron Rodgers said over the course of the last 3 months, he's talked to Coach Tomlin every week about potentially joining the Steelers. I don't think he lied about that. And if he didn't lie about that, I would have to believe that there was probably some communication in saying like, hey, what do you think about playing with Jonnu Smith? I don't know. Just my thoughts. But anyway, what does this do to Pat Freiermuth? And as far as seasonal, I'm pretty sure this takes him out of being touched. And then as far as dynasty, because we have to look at this in a short window in saying that from a dynasty perspective, Pat Freiermuth is 27 years old. Aaron Rodgers is going to be out of this offense in a year, and it's going to be Will Howard's show. So if it's Will Howard's show, Pat Freiermuth is 28 years old, Johnny's gone, Rodgers is gone, we're right back to square one with Freiermuth now back in a seat. Like, is this a – do we just, like, hold with Pat Freiermuth, stay here in Dynasty, and then a year from now, if you got him, you just got him? Or what's your kind of thoughts on what to do with Freiermuth in Dynasty if you have him?
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
I mean, my initial thought is to bury him, but you know that may be a bit premature. We haven't seen Jonnu go to the Steelers. We don't know how this is all going to shake out entirely. I feel like it would be presumptive to just drop him out of the top 250 entirely. But he's not somebody we're thinking about. He's not going to be somebody anybody's thinking about, to be honest. So I don't think it really matters that much, how far we drop him down. I don't think it's the kind of situation, the kind of move that's going to affect many people's rosters at this point.
Well, I mean, this is you're talking about. I mean, Pat Freiermuth's a damn good tight end, and
there are a lot of good tight ends who are just buried or are not getting the opportunities that they would need to be viable fantasy options. That's not as much of an issue. It's all about opportunity, especially with tight ends. We think about somebody like Isaiah Likely, who's an excellent tight end, still stuck there with Mark Andrews at the forefront in Baltimore. And another situation, he would be a marquee tight end somewhere. But opportunity you know, and the lack thereof just dictates that he's not, he's not a top priority.
Let's talk about that situation, because that I had this written down as well. For seasonal, Isaiah Likely right now is around 178 overall in ADP. Mark Andrews is, where did he just go? He's 79. So he's 100 spots higher than Isaiah Likely is in seasonal. In Dynasty, where we currently sit today, we have as a consensus Isaiah Likely at tight end 14, Mark Andrews at tight end 16. Andrews is 29, Likely's 25. We saw early on last year what Likely looked like. The receiving room in Baltimore added DeAndre Hopkins, and it looks fantastic on paper every single summer, but it doesn't end up ever doing shit.
Well, because it's Baltimore.
I know, but it's like you look at it on paper and you're like, all right, so we got Zay Flowers.
That's why I don't buy into it. I never buy into it just because I know what team we're talking about.
We got Rashad Bateman. They brought in Devontae Walker a year ago. Tylan Walls is hanging around. Like, these are like fun names that, you know, we looked at in the pre-draft stuff. I love LaJonte Wester, but Anthony Miller's on the roster still. Come on, baby.
It's like a music analogy. So like Neil Young, you know, plays really simple, stripped down music. He used to hire the best jazz drummers, some of the best jazz drummers in the world, to play with him and play the most simple stuff. You know, it's just like, you know, you never got what you would want out of those guys, because it didn't require it. And so, like, I feel like with Baltimore, you're adding all this talent, and it feels good, and it makes the team better overall. You know, you got better players. The team is better, but you don't necessarily have to use them like other teams are using them, and you can still win.
Yeah, you're talking about it from a perspective that you can still make a good hit. Like, you look at the Ravens. They can still win 14 games, but from our perspective – it's a no-go. It's a zero, essentially, unfortunately. But with the tight ends, Mark Andrews and Likely here, I mean, I tend to say just fade both in seasonal. And in Dynasty, I think it's just a waiting game, which is weird because it's like you should still be taking advantage of Mark Andrews in his age 29 season.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to fade Andrews in a seasonal just because, you know, maybe this is his last season. Maybe, you know, maybe they run the wheels off of him. You know, and last season, what, he had 673 yards, 11 touchdowns. I mean, that's a good season out of Mark Andrews, and you don't want to miss out on that entirely. I feel like if you can get value on Mark Andrews and seasonal, then definitely do so. But yeah, I because with Waller coming back, it just adds one more guy who you could potentially put in that mix too, to take there instead of Andrews or Likely. That's probably going to get, you know, more targets or maybe more consistency throughout the season. But this tight end landscape, it's still not what we want it to be. It's still not something ideal. So, I mean, yeah, you're still going to be able to consider Andrews. You're still going to want to need to consider Andrews, especially in season-long leagues. I mean, in Dynasty, like you said, Likely offers the best outlook, you know, if you're just looking at a long-term kind of thing. But he's the kind of guy, like, you're not expecting that much out of him this year. And, like, if you do – want him in Dynasty, you have him in Dynasty, it's just kind of a wait and see kind of thing.
Mark Andrews over the last two seasons has fewer receptions than Kittle, Kelsey, Laporta, Janu, Hockenson, Njoku, Evan Engram, Brock Bowers, Cole Kmet. Note there with Brock Bowers, he's only got one season on the books in that. 100 receptions, which is exactly the same as Kyle Pitts. Within that, all those names I just listed, he has 1,217 receiving yards, which is ninth amongst that list. But he has more than three times the receiving touchdowns as TJ Hockenson, more than three times the touchdowns as Evan Engram, more than double the touchdowns as Travis Kelce. He just hangs around, man. He had, like you said, 11 touchdowns last year. He's got 17 the last two seasons, which is tied with Sam LaPorta for the most amongst tight ends in that time frame. He's 29 years old, and it's, you know.
I mean, the Ravens haven't added, you know, another red zone presence in there. And then receive. I mean, like DeAndre Hopkins, it's arguable, but I mean, like they really don't have another guy, who I think they would who would leapfrog Andrews in that red zone totem.
And that's not. That's also like not. That's just like not really Likely's game. Likely's game is when I think about it, this might sound dumb, but like he's like a between the 20s type of a tight end. He's a guy that's going to act more as a receiver and gain you yards than he is going to be a winner in the end zone from a savviness perspective. Like you think of a Kelsey or you think of a Mark Andrews. One name I brought up on that list is Kyle Pitts. And I brought Kyle Pitts up for one reason, because we did a show a couple days ago looking for values in the later rounds, and you brought up Michael Penix, and I brought up Kyle Pitts, and both of these guys are going off incredibly late, 13th round, both of these guys, Michael Penix and Kyle Pitts in Atlanta. Yesterday I was talking to Alex on the show, and he said that he did not think Atlanta was worth the squeeze to go to for a training camp tour. Mind you, Atlanta's the second closest team to me.
He's rather than one of the teams you want to go see. I mean, like young quarterback, you know, some questions there. Yeah, that's who you want to go out to see. Forget all these teams where you know what to expect of everything. You know, you want one of these young led teams that could potentially have a breakout year for a lot of players.
From a tight end perspective, Kyle Pitts right now, I mean, literally buried. Like I my cousin listens to the show back in Minnesota, and every like it feels like every other day he's sending me a screenshot of a draft he's doing on Underdog or Fast Draft or ESPN or Yahoo, wherever, and it's like Kyle Pitts, and I'm like, man, what the hell? He's going off like tight end 17, tight end 18. And again, talking about another young tight end in Dynasty, Kyle Pitts, who 25 years old, we still have him sitting here, consensus tight end 12, right on the, like you have him on the fringe top 150. I have him just a few spots over top 100 in Dynasty 1 QB right now. Tight end 12, 25 years old in this offense with London, with Penix, you know, Bijan's, of course, the horse in that offense, but I feel like people have, and correct me if I'm wrong, do you think that people have jumped the shark on just like, I think my brother said it best a year ago, maybe he said that Kyle Pitts is on a freight train going off the edge of a mountain with a never ending track. Just like, he's just doomed. Like he's just not going to succeed. It's like the 2022 season sticks too close to people's minds. He's got, you know, the last 4 years, 1, 2, 3, 4 touchdowns receiving, like 600 yards back-to-back years. He had that 1,000 as a rookie. Like, I just feel like people have gotten too far out on this Kyle Pitts hate. And now at this point, he's, you know, tight end 17, 18 in seasonal. I mean, you're talking about guys around him like Freiermuth, and that Freiermuth pre-Jonnu Smith becoming, you know, a Steeler. You're talking about tight ends Hunter Henry, who actually is a value. Zach Ertz. Like, he's in this area where I just don't think this is a – this shouldn't be where he's at in this conversation.
It shouldn't be, but okay, great. Get him at value. Get some value on Kyle Pitts. I mean, like, have everybody sleep on him. You know, take him late. He's in a position where you don't have to pay up for him. It's not going to be a big risk to get Kyle Pitts in any format, really. So get him late. Take him, you know. Hold on. Use the last spot on your bench for him. It doesn't really matter. The fact that you can get him with, I mean, to me, this just says you can buy low on Kyle Pitts and he can end up paying off for you.
I like that. All right. Rookies. What rookies this year? Do you have any expectations for these rookies into 2025? We got training camp coming up in a couple of weeks. You'll probably go see the Bears and the Colts on your adventures, and you're going to see both Colston Loveland and Tyler Warren, hopefully. We also have Terrence Ferguson, in Los Angeles, Mason Taylor with the Jets. I'm intrigued to hear what comes of that. And then Gunnar Helm with Tennessee, among some names. Do you have expectations? Like, obviously, Dynasty, we have expectations, but like from a seasonal perspective, should people have expectations heading into training camp for any of these these rookie tight ends?
I mean, for me, Colston Loveland comes to mind, and that Bears offense, you know, still a young quarterback there in Caleb Williams in Chicago, needs a good safety blanket, and someone like a Colston Loveland who can just be that guy. There are some other good pass catchers in that offense, potentially. I mean, you still have Roma Dunze, who's a young up-and-coming player, Luther Burden, the third, the rookie, and then DJ Moore. But I think Loveland, like Mark Andrews, is the best red zone option out of all of those guys. And so we could see, you know, quite a few touchdowns out of him, for sure. Also, I mean, in that same breath, you have to mention Tyler Warren, the rookie there in Indianapolis, who they're already talking up as being, you know, cemented in his role there. It's kind of buyer beware just because, you know, we're used to, like, in Indianapolis picking up their tight end, whoever their starting tight end is, and him not paying off for you. But I don't think that's going to be the case with Tyler Warren, especially with the quarterback situation being what it is and Daniel Jones looking like he's going to be the starter, at least to enter the season in 2025. Warren, a big safety blanket, athletic. You know, Michael Pittman would buy four red zone targets with Warren, but I still think he's going to score, you know, a handful of touchdowns in his rookie season.
You're drafting a tight end in seasonal, and you want to kind of, you know, let's say you're drafting right now, right? This is kind of early, right? The cheat sheets are up right now on rosterwatch.com. You can go get your Dynasty Top 250, but you're looking at a draft. Your friends go, hey man, we got to do this draft, doing it early. You know, we're all going to be out of town all of August, not doing a draft. We're going to draft in July. And you look at these tight ends, and Trashman's got to put his name next to one of these rookies just to have on the roster over the course of the next month. You can cut him before week one happens, but you want to have him on the roster because you're drafting today to get through training camp. And you can get Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland in the early 11th round in seasonal drafts right now as a consensus, anywhere between 120 146, somewhere in there, 161, a little bit for Colston Loveland. Let's call it 11th round. Or you can ship it all the way to the end, 198th overall, Mason Taylor, as potentially the number two option on the Jets. Are you going with one of the two studs in the 11th round, or are you going to ship this thing to the last round and get you some Mason Taylor?
Hey, in true trash man fashion, I'm taking Taylor in the last round.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.